Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and buckle your seatbelts. It's time for your weekly ride-along with the Bikes on Mics. This is Drive-By.
He's my guest. We are the Mics on Mics, and this is the Drive-By Wrestling Podcast. How the hell's it going, Mike?
You want to hear a funny story?
Absolutely.
All right, so, like, there's this dude at work tonight. He was, like, an overtime guy, works on the weekend shift. So, he was in a heavier area, right?
Right.
For the evening. Where I work is like a distribution center, right? Warehouse. And you got, like, you know, your own, like, truck, you gotta, like, stack boxes in. So, like, I'm like, dude's, like, all backed up, right? All backed up. All fucked up all fucking night. All night, like, all fucking night. So, like, he's all backed up, and he's, like, talking to this dude, like, and I'm like, hey, man, he's just, like, out, like, not even anywhere near where he should be, just talking to this dude,
right.
And I walk over, and I'm like, my man's, you clear backed up, but you over here talking to Brian, why don't you get back over to your lane? He's like, yeah, all right, turns around, back to Brian, and keeps talking. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's like that, right? So I'm like, hey, man, I mean, like, now. And he's like, all right, it turns back to Brian. And I'm like, oh, in my mind, I'm like, oh. So I'm like, hey, dude, I didn't say finish talking to Brian and then go. I said, go right now. Now go. And he's like, I'm going, man. I'm like, then go. And he was like, you know, you could be respectful about this. And I was like, I started, like, kind of, like, laughing a little bit. And I was like, this is as respectful as it could possibly get in this situation right now. Like, oh, man. Oh, man. And he said something else. And I was like, I don't even care what you have to say. Just go back to work. And he's coming back again. Today, tonight, whatever, tomorrow, I guess it is still for me. He's coming back tomorrow again.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, man, I bet he calls off. Because he's a bitch,
totally
he's
that.
A lover, yeah. He's a child, he's a mother, he's a sinner, he's a saint. I hate that fucking song. I hate that fucking song. Her, Meredith... What's her name? Meredith Brooks? Meredith?
That would be it.
Meredith, yep. Brooks. Her and that Paula Cole came out at the same time. And I fucking hated them. And my mom had both their CDs.
Of course she did.
Fucking of course she did, man. Of course she did. My mom likes good music, but equally likes terrible music.
That's usually how it works.
That's moms. That's moms, though, yep. Man. That's fucking moms.
Yep.
Anyway, you want to talk about some wrestling, or are we just going to fucking sit here and talk about... Hey, by the way, man, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you, sir.
That day for me, by the way, right? So, like, I'm not late.
Yeah.
I'm not late on this. It's still that day for me. So, happy anniversary, by the way, man.
I appreciate that, my man. I do. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about wrestling, or we can just talk about bad 90s music if you want. I mean, it's...
Oh, man, like, where do you want to start? Like, I heard, you know what song I heard today was... And this is a bad song, but, like, I don't want you to think that I mean that this dude's music is bad. Like, I'm a huge Phil Collins fan, but they played Sussudio twice on the radio at work tonight. Fucking twice. Sussudio? Sussudio? Sussudio. Like, I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Least.
Like, first of all, we all know the In the Air Tonight is amazing. But me,
right.
I'm personally partial to a little I Can't Dance or something like that, man. Maybe even some Genesis. But fucking Sussudio? fucking Sussudio. Whatever.
But at least it should invoke memories of American Psycho in your brain. So, I mean.
Yeah, and like honestly.
There's worse songs.
Like pretty much any Phil Collins song evokes some childhood memory from me. They were always like playing on the shitty radio station they played at the local pool. Right. It's just like constantly like a thing. So yeah, man. I mean, like, so you know, Sussudio. Not that I don't like Phil Collins, but like you know, there's like, 90s were fucking bad. Ace of Base was a thing. You know, most of their music's like pro, like Nazi propaganda, right?
I never really paid attention to that.
Yeah, the dude that like wrote all their music, he like was in the Hitler Youth as a child. So like really like if you like all their music is like pro Nazi propaganda, like I saw the sign and it opened up my eyes. You know, like that's a swastika. You know, like all that she wants is another baby, because like you know that's like what women were supposed to do is breed the perfect Aryan race. So anyway,
horrendous.
Fucking wrestling things happened this weekend. There was a pay-per-view. Yeah, you're going to try and convince me it wasn't terrible. I'm going to tell you it was terrible, and you're going to be like, it wasn't that bad. No, Mike, if you look at it like this, then I'm going to be like, no, like, objectively, it was a piece of shit, Mike. But hey, man, that's it in a nutshell, but let's fucking get into it. Let's do it. I'm fucking psyched.
Yeah, we're going to, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much, Mike. When we finished talking last week, we were hours away from the debut of SmackDown on Fox. And it's just how it's going to be, folks. We're probably going to have to talk about anything major that happens on Fox.
Hey, I came up with
same
a plan
way we
for
do
this.
A pay-per-view.
I came up with a plan for this. I say that we, on Twitter, we just ask Jason, Liam, and Bill. Because they record basically the same days we do. Ask them what they were going to do. And then since they're not a show anymore, we do that.
We could. Totally.
I honestly don't think they came up with a plan. I think they were like, there's not even a point coming up with a plan here. Rest in peace,
yeah,
NAI.
I really didn't.
I'm still not over it.
Yep. I know. Me either. But, I will probably talk some of the hot points for the weekend, the beginning of every show, and then we'll go from there. Probably with a strong focus, at least right now, I would say, Mike, on the Wednesday Night Wars. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'd say. I would say this also, people, is probably the end of last week today, or whatever the fuck we were calling it. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, if there's a major thing that we need to correct, we'll correct it, but it'll probably just be in passing.
We're never wrong, though, so.
It's just, I mean, there's just so much stuff going on, like bits, and we just don't have time for it, man. Okay, so, SmackDown on Fox did at a peak, the first, I think, 15 minutes, I think it peaked at, like, a little over 4 million, but it averaged out to be a rating of, like, 3.88, which is... I mean, blew what you predicted out of the water. Kind of was in line with what I predicted. Pretty good numbers, Mike.
I don't know nothing about ratings, by the way, guys. I just pulled that number out of my ass last week. But fuck, I don't know.
I'm one that we've sat here on the show, Mike, and I've said, like, ratings don't matter anymore. Not in the way they used to in the 90s, anyway. You're not going to get those numbers. And you're not probably on a regular basis. This was a good number. Did Raw or Nitro do better numbers back in the day? Yeah, sure, but there was also, like, you know, nothing to do. There was no, like, internet in the palm of your hand.
I got 36 channels, and of those 36, literally only, like, 25 of them actually worked. And of those 25, only did I regularly watch, like 12 of those channels.
And you had to watch live or have a VCR to tape something, and now everyone has DVR and streaming services, so it's just different.
Mike,
that's not what this discussion about.
I got a quick
about
question.
Today,
I got a quick question.
Sure.
So like, I was like a double watcher back during the Monday Night Wars. Like I was a flip flopper. You know, I was constantly back and forth in it. Or you know, also God bless them, the Nitro replays. Once that became a thing. Well, fuck, never mind. I guess I just answered my own question. I know
were
that
you...
Were you going to ask
what I was?
No, I know what you were. You watched Raw and you taped Nitro and then watched it after. My question was going to be, would you stay up and watch Nitro immediately after Raw? And then I was like, man, that's late. Like, would you stay up that late to watch all 3 hours of it? And then I was like, you did. You dumb fucking idiot. And he at least got to fast forward through commercials.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I got home from school on Tuesday and watched Nitro and fast forward through all the commercials.
No, you
nine
didn't.
Times out of ten.
You really didn't stay up and watch it Monday?
No.
Pussy.
No. Nine times out of ten, I would watch like the cruiserweight title match or cruiserweight match that usually opened the show, and then I'd fast forward until I saw NWO on the screen or something that piqued my interest.
Fair.
That's how I usually watch Nitro.
That's how I watch Raw now.
It's also fair. But SmackDown, man, what did you think overall? I thought they did a really good job. I thought they did exactly what they needed to do on a new station like that to basically introduce who they were, introduce some of their current stars, and add some new things to the mix that hopefully, which they were trying to do, is pull in some mainstream people that will stick around to watch and see how this unfolds.
I'll be honest, man, I thought it was super weird when they had Big Cass running at the end and join that stable with Randy Orton. It was like, it's Big Cass. I didn't get it. I was like, it's Big Cass. Why are we acting like he's such a big deal here? He's not a game changer. I mean, he's big, but it's Big Cass. Like, we all know that he's, like, not gonna, like, be the star that they're presenting him to be. But it was weird, but like, whatever, man. You see the parallel there? You see that?
I think you watched the wrong episode of SmackDown.
Like. Yeah, it was weird, man. Like, they brought him in, and I was like, this is super weird. Like, they keep acting like Big Cass is some star or something. Like, he's going to change the game for them. Like, he's going to win this Wednesday, Friday night war.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I still can't get over that.
Dude, I'm still mind blown by it, man. Like I'm gonna, like, we're gonna get off the phone. I'm gonna go in here and watch AEW and see, like, how have they positioned Jack Swagger as a star this week? That's gonna be the ongoing game. That might be a new segment here. How have they tried to position Jack Swagger? We don't need to talk about this again, dude. We're not even to the AEW segment yet. I'm done making fun.
I know, but can I say something that is just part of the thing that irritates me with the whole AEW thing?
Yeah,
I was listening. It's our show, but I edit it, so it is more my show.
No, it's more your show. It's like 70% yours and 30% mine.
I was listening to Wade Keller when he was doing the AEW post show. I listened to Wade Keller because of the wrestling talking heads. He's the more level-headed one, and I like to get opinions of people that oppose a lot of things but are more at least fair about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he is more fair.
And I really was curious to hear what they thought of AEW, and you know, he had some dislikes, which I was good to hear. It was good to hear because he was in line a lot with what we said, if that makes sense. And but then he's laughing because he was said that someone from AEW had just texted him. And then I take this back. This is when they were talking about Friday Night SmackDown. He literally said, someone from AEW just texted me and said they were watching also, and our shooter has a victory over their shooter. Ha ha. Because apparently Jack Hagar or Jake Hager or whatever his damn name is, Jack Swagger, has an amateur wrestling victory over Cain Velasquez, I think from frickin' high school, okay? But it just goes to show the mentality of some of the people in AEW because, hey guys, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. AEW was trying to sign Cain Velasquez, and they didn't, and WWE has. So instead of, you know, WWE puts out a statement issuing a congratulations on, you know, basically AEW beating them in ratings. That's what that was, and I'm okay with that. And they didn't have to do anything, and I don't take it as a backhanded compliment like everybody else did. It was what it was. But then they're going to text people who they know are talking on the radio about wrestling to make fun of them signing Cain Velasquez when they were trying to sign him too. They got beat, and they aren't going to admit it. And that's just, it's just one of those irritating things with me. I don't know.
That's like, no shit.
They handle things with very poor PR skills.
Well, and it's also like, I had a buddy, and, remember Brady Quinn?
Uh-huh.
Former Cleveland Browns and Notre Dame.
Yep.
Quarterback Brady Quinn. So,
yep.
I became friends with this dude right around the time Brady Quinn got drafted. This was before we knew that Brady Quinn was Brady Quinn, right? This is when he was, hold on, let me put it like this. This is back when he was Brady Quinn and not Brady Quinn. So, my buddy went to school with him and in sixth grade started in front of him at quarterback.
Nice.
Right. So this would be like, say my buddy kept up with football, which he did not. Like, obviously, we're friends. Say he, like, got signed by, like, the Canadian Football League. And it'd just be, like, some CFL team. And, like, picking my buddy up, like, the same year Brady Quinn got drafted. And then being, like, our quarterback's proven better than their quarterback. like what the fuck? This dude was the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. Are you fucking kidding me? This motherfucker has two professional fights against the dude, again, I want to remind you, whose stomach looks like the stomach of a woman that's birthed 9 children.
Yeah, the the list of accomplishments definitely,
like, at what least, the f-
in my opinion, pales in comparison.
What did he do, so, man? Like, anyway, what did he fucking do?
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that in the Wednesday Night War segment. So we'll just move on from there. SmackDown. You know, we end with Cain Velasquez. I guess let's just take the high points, high and low points. First and foremost, did you enjoy the show? Did you think it was a good debut episode on Fox, and do you think that it did a good job of trying to draw in those casual viewers?
I feel like they did exactly what you'd want to do for that episode.
Yep, I thought it was a perfectly designed episode, even to the point, I know some people are a little upset, well, wrestling fans, so very upset, bitching that, oh, they said Sting and Undertaker and Stone Cold were going to be there, and we didn't even get to see them. Those same people would be bitching, hey, why is Sting, Stone Cold, and The Undertaker on TV, and AJ Styles isn't, and Aleister Black isn't, and they're taking the time away from the young guys? Because that's how wrestling fans are. So, I actually think maybe they shouldn't have advertised these people if they weren't 100% sure they were going to put them on screen. That being said, I like the fact, even though I didn't love the matches, I like the fact that we had a lumberjack match to get people on screen that we're going to see on a weekly basis. They had an 8-man tag to do exactly that, to introduce people who don't know who these people are to an AJ Styles. You know what I mean? So they can see them in the ring, at least get an idea of who they are, and we can still do the stuff with Tyson Fury, we can still do the stuff with Cain Velasquez, which we're going to do to try to make them want to stay. And then hopefully along the line, half of them fall in love with the guys and girls they see in the ring, and they stick around to watch the show regardless. I mean, it's common sense, guys.
I think that's excellently put. It is common freaking sense. It was a well-structured show to just keep you wanting to watch it and come back next week.
Yep, absolutely. I enjoyed the set. I think the stage is probably the best entrance stage in pro wrestling right now. I liked the Raw entrance until I saw the SmackDown entrance, and I'm like, man, they really gave Raw the short side of the stick, didn't they?
I don't know, man. I just really like that Raw.
I'm just saying when you put the two next to each other, I think the SmackDown one's
pretty much better, but I do really like that Raw one.
But anyway, I like the fact that you can slide down it, which we already experienced on Monday Night Raw. Anyway, good show. How did you feel? Because, you know, the other thing, the weekend that should have been huge for WWE, in my opinion, especially with doing this kind of numbers on SmackDown, having a positive review for the most part on the show up until the end, and the negativity just continued into the weekend for them. How did you feel about the way Brock beat Kofi? Because I have feelings, and I'm sure that they don't align with most people, but I think they might align with yours, so I'm just curious.
I'm okay with it, because Brock's beat a lot of people like that, you know? It's not...
That's kind of his thing, isn't it?
It's not like this is the first time this has ever happened. It's not like this is the first or last time that this is ever gonna happen. Brock shithouses people, man. It is what it is. Kofi was never gonna be the chosen one. He had a hell of a great championship run.
An awesome run.
Yes, an awesome run. It was a great way to set up a storyline heading in. It was a great way to cap off an awesome title run. I know a lot of people, like to have seen him lose it in a good match or something, but I think it was a good, like, you built a huge story moving forward using this. So,
yes.
You know what? I'm interested to see what we do with Kofi now without the title. Where's he go from here?
Yep.
It's curious. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of. They opened up a lot of stuff with it, so it was good. It was smart.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Yeah, I know that, like, the F5 has been a protected finisher up until the point that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were introduced into the picture, and that's some of the problems that people have, but, like, you're not looking at it logically. And to be fair, Kofi is half the size of both those guys. Maybe not half the size of Seth, but close enough. Definitely half the size of Roman. Kofi also got caught, like, right out the gate. Like, he went towards Lesnar, lunged at him, jumped. Lesnar caught him and hit him with an F5 out of nowhere. It was a knockout punch, man. This is supposed to be simulated combat. That shit happens. I mean, Lesnar's gotten kind of taken out that way in the UFC ring. It's not impossible, and it's actually more realistic, which is why I enjoy it. It's not a screw to Kofi. It just isn't. If he was going to lose, what does it matter if he gets beaten one move or if he gets a couple offensive moves and then gets beaten one move? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. He lost. So it actually makes him look better if you can assume he just got caught with a quote-unquote lucky punch. You know what I mean? So I liked it. I was shocked. And I think that's what they were also going for. If you pay attention, you saw Mark Henry sitting there with his mouth just wide open in the crowd as one of the guests there, just shocked. And, you know, amazingly, he said the best thing that probably anybody should have said about this on Busted Open Radio. He said, guys, like, Kofi got caught. We got to stop making this a thing because of his color. It's wrestling, and this is the end of his story for now. And he's right. He's 100% right. 100%. They didn't do it. They didn't do it that way because Kofi's a black champion. That is not it, guys. I mean, you could think that, but it really isn't. They gave this man a 6-month title run where he shithoused everybody, and they made him look strong. So they could, in my opinion, make Brock Lesnar look even stronger when the time came. And time was here. You know, they knew this stuff was coming. They knew they were signing with Fox. They knew what they had in line. So it all makes sense. And Kofi was the benefactor of a movement and of a move to Fox and needing a strong champion to make Brock Lesnar look strong. And that's what he was. And if you can be that in your career, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, even if you're in a position to fight Brock, you're doing pretty good. Which Kofi's done twice now.
Right. 100%. I couldn't agree more, Mike. I couldn't agree more. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how SmackDown continues on Fox. They did a lot of things with Fox Sports, even having Aaron Andrews in the back doing an interview with the New Day. The blue carpet premiere, I actually watched the whole thing. It was a lot of fun, had a sports-like feel to it. I'm digging the relationship with Fox so far, and I hope it continues to go in a similar way, man. It seems pretty fun. You have anything else you want to add to the SmackDown talk?
No. Okay. Charlotte, 10-time champion.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what she does. She wins. She wins titles. Then she eventually loses them and wins them back. And she's the best wrestler on the planet. At least female, but probably in the conversation for just overall. So let's move on to the weekend, Mike, and Hell in a Cell. And, okay, we can blow by all these matches. You know what, man? We did a pick 'em, and it was four matches, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even remember how the outcome was on who won, so I apologize. It was a weird pay-per-view, right?
Oh, yeah, it was super weird. Super weird.
I'll post it on the page for whoever, give credit to whoever won, because it was weird. Anyway, how do I want to say this? The show itself, the ending, this was a good show that had an ending that, I guess, ruined the show. Like, and rest in peace, New Age Insiders used to say it all the time. People remember the last thing they see. So you could have a 5-star pay-per-view, and if the ending of the last match sucks, then the whole show sucks, at least in people's minds. I think that's really unfair because I, like, even, you know, The Fiend, the Seth Rollins, the ending there, you know, had people hashtagging cancel the WWE Network, which I think is the dumbest thing ever. None of, like, if 100 people were hashtagging that, I bet you 2 of them actually did it. It's just silly. It's like, so you're going to cancel the network over one match on a pay-per-view that had Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks literally tear the house down in a Hell in a Cell match. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, yeah, I get it. I get it. I know, man. It's hard for me to... I have to remind myself of this sometimes. Like, hey, man, like, just because the end was so very bad doesn't mean that, like, the rest of it was.
So, I guess when it comes to Hell in a Cell, we can just get all the beginning stuff out of the way. As I just said, Becky and Sasha tore the house down. An amazing, fun, innovative Hell in a Cell match. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
The rest of the card, kind of thrown together at the last minute, but for the most part, pretty fun card. We did get to see the Kabuki Warriors become tag team champs. We got to see Asuka use the Green Mist, which I love. I think it's a neat dynamic to add to her character, and I almost think that maybe should have been added a long time ago, but she was a face the majority of her run. So, I get it. So that's fun. I thought the Roman Reigns-Daniel Bryan tag match against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan was a fun match. Didn't you think so?
Yeah, I really did. I think that was probably my favorite match of the night, to be honest with you. I love a good tornado tag. When they announced it was tornado tag at the beginning of the match, I was immediately like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. We never do this anymore. Yes.
And they had some really good chemistry together. Like, surprisingly good chemistry.
Oh, it was outstanding. It was a fun match. Oh, it was. Yep. It was. I had a blast with it. I loved it.
I'm not saying that I want Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns to be a tag team going forward, but I'm also not saying I wouldn't hate it to at least happen a couple more times. So we have that. Looks like Daniel Bryan is a face again, which from what I'm hearing, that's what Fox wanted because of the Yes Movement. And I totally get that. It's definitely a sports... It's something that moved into the sporting world that is mainstream, and it makes sense for them to want that. I love heel, angry vegan environmentalist Daniel Bryan. I hope he returns. And maybe they're fooling us, and this is still a slow, like... a slow build to screwing over Roman Reigns. I don't know. But it is what it is.
It's not.
And it's fine because Daniel Bryan's still, again, one of the best wrestlers, workers, and characters that is in pro wrestling. So let's move on to the debacle of the night. And we don't have to discuss it blow for blow. But let me ask you this. I know that you hated this. I didn't hate it. I can hate it, and I will explain that to you. But let me ask you this first. Did you hate the entire match, or did you just hate the finish?
I just hated the finish.
Okay.
I hated the red light. I hated the red lights, but I mostly just hated the finish.
See, I liked the red lights at first because I thought it gave it a cool feel, but after watching it like for a while, I was like, all right, this would have been, I don't know, man. It just didn't, it wasn't easy to see. You know what I mean?
It's, looking at anything it kind of in like an unnatural light after just a period of time, just grates on you.
And I don't know. It was, I guess it wasn't necessary, but I totally understand what they were going for with that. And I mean, if you watch the Tron in the background, that looked like they were red, eerie clouds going over the arena, which was really cool. It was a cool visual. It just kind of got, it was just too much for too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But besides that, I can live with that. That doesn't like bother me. I thought the match was okay itself. I didn't mind the ending. What about the finish pissed you off?
It's like a combination of reasons. One, they telegraphed the DQ on Twitter with the poll.
But it wasn't a DQ, Mike.
It was, though. It wasn't, but it was.
It wasn't.
Come on. Okay.
It wasn't. It
but
wasn't.
They telegraphed,
we'll get into it, but
they
okay,
telegraphed how the match was going to end. Okay? They call it whatever. Call it a DQ, a stoppage. It's hell in a cell, man. It's hell in a fucking cell. Right? It ends one of two ways. Pinfall or submission. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Standing 10 count even. So, I didn't like that it was telegraphed that it was going to end in a non-decisive way. And then, it went on entirely too long. And I just felt it was like unnecessarily long, like, you know, like, not that I was like, oh, it's like, it was unnecessary length of violence, and that's not one of those, like, all right, man, you made your point, like, okay, we get it. It was like that. And then, it didn't really make sense to me. The whole thing was just poorly booked. It didn't make sense. It was not well structured or put together. It didn't do either guy any favors.
I would disagree, but okay.
I don't think, in retrospect, it did.
You're right.
I don't think it hurt either guy either. I want to stress that.
Oh, I think it did. I don't disagree there.
I think right now the Fiend is so loved right now that I think like he's not taking any flack on this. It's more of a fuck, you booked this pretty fucking terribly. But people are still supporting this character just like they were fucking last week.
Right.
Seth Rollins, I don't think it did any damage to, because Seth Rollins has been ho-hum for about fucking 8 months now. And I don't think anybody's expected him to fucking skyrocket out of it.
I think it hurt him more, it shouldn't hurt either of them. It's not their fault, you know what I mean?
No, it's not at all. I think it's only hurting Seth Rollins at all because I think people are just a little bit tired of him being so fucking stale lately.
Yeah, they are.
But those are like my major concerns with it.
Okay, so the match itself was what it was. It probably was too long as a match.
I don't mean even as a match it was too long. I mean the fucking ending was too long. It was like the end of the third Lord of the Rings film, where it was just like, holy fuck, man, wrap it up. Come on. I gotta take a piss.
I don't know how many stomps Seth gave. I know the answer is too many. three or four I probably could have lived with, but the 6 to 11 or whatever he gave was just too much. I don't know. Like, because it just got too repetitive. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we get it. You're giving him your finisher, and he can get up from it. Like, you made the point after number three. But here's the thing, man. Like, I actually want to give them credit for trying to do something different. Maybe they shouldn't have put that pole up. Maybe that would have changed a lot of people's opinions. It was not a DQ. It was a ref stoppage. It was a no contest. They even had on Wednesday the referee on this new show, at least it's new to me, called The Bump. It's on the network. It's also on social media. The referee made a statement basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase, but basically saying, you know, when Bray Wyatt was lying motionless and I saw that Seth Rollins was going to do anything he could do to win this match, I had to make the decision that was best for the safety of the competitors. And I understand that. Like, it makes sense. I also know that maybe relying on something like that, especially with a live crowd that can't hear what the referee said. Did you pick up what the referee was saying to Seth, Mike?
Not really. I mean, I could hear some of it. It was like...
So, when Seth got the sledgehammer, which was the final blow that called the match out the window, he went to Seth and said, this isn't you. You don't want to do this. Are you really going to kill this guy? Is what he said. So, as I've heard on different shows, maybe he should have told Seth there. It wouldn't have mattered with the crowd because they wouldn't have heard it. But maybe for the TV audience, he should have said, if you do this, the match is out the window. Then it would have put, you know, it would have put more heat on Seth, which is probably a better idea. Because now the heat's just on everybody. You know what I mean? But I get what they were going for. They were trying to make the Fiend look unstoppable and make Seth look like he had to go to that dark place to try to stop him. And it just fell flat. I actually really liked the post-match beatdown of Seth from The Fiend. He's laying there coughing up blood at the end. Like everything other than the referee ringing the bell was actually done very well. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
If you're making The Fiend, what I said, into Michael Myers, which is exactly what they flippin' did with that match, then it all worked really well. I think there was little things they could have done to just make people happier. If they hadn't rang the bell and instead maybe the ref just called for medical and had him raise the cell without the match technically ending, kind of like when Mankind went off went through the cage after going off the side of the cage, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They
called the medical team out. If they would have done that and then just had the same, you know, going off the air the same way, so there was no decision, but Seth is now attacked from The Fiend, who we thought was going out on a stretcher, but now the cell's up, Seth's bleeding, and The Fiend disappears. You think people would have been happier with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would be happier with that.
So, maybe they overthought it and tried to give a definitive finish in a non-finish, and they should have just done the non-finish. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
And maybe that was them actually, which is funny, trying to make people happy and doing the exact opposite with it. Look, here's the thing. Bottom line. You know what, man? They made a decision that people didn't like. They fucked up. Here's where I have a slight problem with it. You gotta fucking own it, man. They scooted, and I guess I get it, but they kind of technically tried to scoot by it on Raw and not even talk about it. They did bring it up for a brief little period. I understand why they let it go deep into the show before that happened, but I can't not give them shit when I said to you on this very show, man, that chair shot to Cody really didn't come off the right way, and then the Young Bucks just come out there and talk about how it was gimmicked and it didn't turn out right and this, that, and the other. I'm like, no, that's bullshit, man. You gotta own it. Something bad happens, just go with it. You know what I mean? And I think I can't let WWE off the hook for the same thing. You know what? The ending was bad. People didn't like it. don't run away from it. You know what I mean? Let's run into it and face it head on. Now, maybe they are. Maybe that's why they had the ref make that statement. Maybe they just wanted a day of cooling off. And I guess I kind of understand that too. But if they don't at least lean into this as start part of the canon, then I'm going to have a problem with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Did you see the report came out? Rumors that, like, that whole end was Vince McMahon's idea, and then he knows he messed up?
Yeah, I've seen it, and it makes me wonder. It does make me wonder if there's a bigger plan in place, because they leak shit all the time for people to... There are certain things they want out. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like,
they definitely do this purposely.
There was a story shortly after SmackDown that Cain Velasquez's WWE deal hasn't even been inked yet and might not be a for sure thing. Mike, you've been watching wrestling and watching Vince McMahon's wrestling and listening to Vince McMahon's business practices for years now. Is there any part of you that actually thinks Vince McMahon would put somebody on his biggest show ever that isn't locked into a deal that's not going to screw him over?
No, because he's a fucking businessman. A successful, good one.
And he learns from his mistakes. Same with, like, Vince Russo, you can thank for having a million people on a creative team. You know what I mean? Like, he learns from his mistakes. So, that was leaked by them for whatever reason. I don't know why, but that was leaked by them. And I can guarantee you, before that dude ever stepped out foot on Friday Night SmackDown, he had a deal done. You know what I mean?
100% he had a deal done.
So, they do these things for a reason. We can't tell you what the reason is all the time, but they definitely do them for a reason. So maybe there's a bigger plan here. You know, my initial thought was, what if this is The Fiend and The Fiend slash Bray Wyatt, whatever you want to call him at this point, maybe this was his plan the whole time. Maybe this was healing Seth, and I'm saying heal as in H-E-A-L or H-E-E-L, Mike. Maybe he was trying to get Seth to let him in and take the dark side. Maybe he didn't want the championship. Maybe he wanted Seth. Does that make sense at all?
You're better than that pun. We'll let you know.
It's not a pun, Mike. It's a serious thought, man. Like, we don't know. We know what hurt means. I mean, you would assume you know what hurt means, but the other glove says heal. And it just makes me wonder. Like, maybe I like the stories that get told in pro wrestling, Mike, so I'm never going to shit on Chapter 1. So I still want to have hope that this, you know, that this goes somewhere. Here's the problem. It got rejected so much that we might never know what the actual plan was. Does that make sense?
Was there an actual plan?
Like, we don't know, because... And we might not know, because if they shit can the whole idea and just have another match so The Fiend can beat Seth, I don't think that was the plan. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. If they don't lean into it, like I said, then I'll have a problem with it. Then I will absolutely hate it. You know, it's just like the whole thing we talked months ago when we had the segment where the assistant walked in on Alexa Bliss changing her clothes. Remember that, Mike?
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember I said, you know what, it is what it is, but, you know, it's fine right now, but if it doesn't go anywhere, then it was fucking pointless. Well, that was fucking pointless, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Never went anywhere, so what was the point? And that'll be how I feel about this if they don't at least try to use some of this as a storytelling mechanism. But other than that, man, like, it was a solid pay-per-view. The ending sucked, and the rest of the show is getting punished for it, and that's really shitty, because, again, at least Becky and Sasha laid it on in the ring, and you had some exciting matches in between everything else. So, you know, I'm going to give Hell in a Cell an overall good grade, but you know, a shitty ending can put a shitty taste in people's mouths, I guess. And that's what everyone's going to remember and talk about.
I'll give it a B.
Yeah. I think I would have probably given the thing a strong A, but you can't just gloss over the majority. Even if I don't agree that it was as horrible as people say it is, that it's still a majority of people hated it. So you got to go that way. I think we did a lot of talk on SmackDown, a lot of talk on Hell in a Cell. I think this is a good point, Mike. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into this Wednesday Night War, Mike. It's going to continue. It's a battle. And we're going to talk about probably both shows. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. Hang tight. We will be right back. Number 2 of the Wednesday Night Wars is in the books, man. Ratings changed a little bit. AEW lost about 30% of the viewership, roughly, dropping just to a little bit above a million. And NXT dipped again, dropping under 800,000. Not good for either one, but NXT held stronger than I guess AEW did. Of course, AEW came off of a debut week, so it's always expected to lose a little bit. I don't know if they wanted to lose that much. I'm sure they didn't want to lose any. I heard people saying they were going to get 2 million this week, so you kind of see where people feel about things and how they project things, but did not happen. What'd you think, man?
I'll give them a caveat to that, was that it probably didn't help that people had to watch it on True TV, which is a...
It didn't have to watch it on True TV.
Yeah, I guess, didn't you have to? You did have to switch over for the game?
Nah, I had my DVR set, and it picked everything up.
Well, never mind, then. So, that theory's out the door.
Now, I did hear some people... just watched it on True TV to be safe, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, no, it didn't affect anything, because I only have mine set on TNT, so...
So, maybe they didn't take into account the people that watched it on True TV.
No, that's counting them.
Oh, okay. they still won this week, the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Web is Jericho. Jericho's new website, which supposedly is a all-around pop culture website, but it's obviously like wrestling heavy, and it's obviously just like touting the fuck out of the week 2 win and the AEW Facebook pages too. All I really have to say about that is, because, like, you know, like, it's good for you, man. Celebrate, you know, your wins to an extent. But, WCW won for 83 weeks in a row, and Vince still shithoused them and bought them. And, guess what? They all work for him. Everybody went to work for Vince. As a matter of fact, the guy who runs it and was in charge of it while they beat them for 83 weeks, works for Vince.
I was going to start out, instead of saying week 2 of the Wednesday Night Wars, I was going to start out saying there's only 80 more weeks before. Or 81 weeks before.
I mean, and even then, it's like, all you still, changes. You still only beat NXT.
Yeah, which is, you know, even though people like you and I know that it's not a developmental brand, not everybody knows that. And it's been branded that before. So, I have to assume it would take some time to catch some steam on with NXT, whereas AEW's been promoted as an alternative to Raw and SmackDown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I also think, especially this week, WWE did enough to piss people off on Sunday that they might even have turned some of those NXT followers away to just be like, you know what, screw this company this week. I want to watch AEW. You know what I mean? It's highly possible.
Yeah.
So I guess we can get to comparing the two shows again. I really don't have... This sounds like, you know, my bias. I just don't have a lot of stuff to pick on when it comes to NXT, Mike. I mean, I'll give you my basics. I love the feel of Full Sail for NXT. I do think that that hurts them on television. Just because it looks so much
smaller.
I don't want to say less than, and I don't want to say smaller, but it does. It looks smaller.
Looks like an indie.
Yeah, which I think is part of the charm. However, if you're not sure of either product and you're new to both and you want to check them out, which one looks more important to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, AEW.
So that's going to be my biggest thing with NXT right now. And so far, that's really the only thing they've given me to gripe about. You know, I'm sorry. And I don't even want to say I'm sorry. It's a fact. The NXT in-ring, bell-to-bell, from the top of the show to the bottom of the show, is better than anything AEW has put on in the last 2 weeks. Bell-to-bell, start to finish.
I would agree with that. I think AEW has had maybe Pac and Omega was an outstanding match.
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, NXT is putting out consistently better in-ring work. Especially if we're talking, man, this is gonna be something I think I'm gonna be harping on for a while. Again, look at the women's talent, the difference between the two. Like,
there's not even a comparison.
Again, the worst televised women's wrestling match of the week. Again, and here's the thing, man. I've been saying for like weeks now that Britt Baker should have been in the title picture, and she's like the only star they have. She is not. I take that back at 100%. She is not at all.
That's the problem. She is. And I don't want to sit here and act like I don't like Britt Baker, because here's the thing, man. You and I both watched the original All In. They had that four-way. I think it was, what, Madison Rayne, Britt Baker, was it Tessa Blanchard, and who was the other one? Help me out.
Oh, yeah.
Chelsea
man.
Green. Chelsea
we
Green.
Did. She was in that match. That was fantastic.
And it was fantastic. So clearly, she's capable of having a good match, but it almost feels like she's not at that level to have one on her own. Does that make sense? So
yes. If
she's not in there, like if she was in there with a Tessa Blanchard, if she was in there with a, I'm just going to say, big names, a Charlotte, a Becky Lynch, a Sasha Banks, Britt Baker would put on a good match. But when she's in there with subpar competitors who are above or below her skill level, then it just drags everything down. And, like, I fell asleep during that match, Mike. I'm not even going to lie. I fell asleep at the very, very start of it because it was just... their women's division, you know, I know Omega is supposed to be the one building this thing. I'm sorry, man. It can't hold a candle to WWE, and it really can't hold a candle to Impact either.
No, it doesn't. I will say I did really enjoy B. Priestley. Mm-hmm. Was that her name?
Yeah, I believe that's her name.
Okay, yep. I liked her. I like her work, but I also really miss Ruby Riott. So, you know, take that as you will.
Yep.
It, like, they, I don't know, I think I'm just going to keep saying it, like, they desperately need Tessa Blanchard. They just,
and like, she signed to Impact for at least 2 more years.
And it's, and the crazy thing is, like, if you, like, compare them to NXT, like, look at the matches we had this week. You had, Bianca Belair versus, What's-Her-Face. And that was terrible. Dakota Kai.
Yes.
Both
could be stars on that AEW roster with a snap.
Both right now could be AEW Women's Champion, but Dakota Kai would fit in over there because they like the nondescript Asian females. and then, didn't Rhea Ripley wrestle?
Yes, she wrestled Aaliyah, and Rhea Ripley, man, dude.
I think Rhea Ripley could be the one to beat Shayna.
Mike, she does something for me, man. That chick is badass.
Yeah, she's a bad motherfucker. I like her a lot.
That finisher she has, I think the finishing maneuver she has is that Riptide, I think is what it's called, but the submission where she does like a figure four with her arms to the opponent's leg, and they're on their stomach, and then she picks them up and slams them down and locks it. She does it standing, and then picks them up, slams them on their face, and then sits into it and locks it on the mat. It's incredible, dude.
Yeah, I've been a fan of her since. I like that they brought her over. I like the NXT UK then graduate you to NXT. Which then graduates you to the main roster. Even though at this point the NXT is essentially the
main roster. Can't even say that. It's totally main roster. When you have Finn Balor on your roster after he was once there and left, it's no longer you can't consider it a demotion anymore, man. You just can't.
No.
Especially when he's probably you know, he didn't take a pay cut, we'll say that.
Right. So I think the women's rosters are, that's going to be my biggest point of contention moving forward. They're not even comparable.
No,
like,
they're
just,
not.
Like,
not.
Look at your champion. Riho compared to Shayna Baszler, like, get the fuck out of here. And then your next step down is Rhea Ripley. First of all, Shayna Baszler got two badass chicks with her. One that can kind of wrestle.
Yep.
One that's still a bit terrible.
But both we know could kick anybody's ass.
Yeah.
On that other roster.
So then your next step down, you've got Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. And that's like your next step down is Britt Baker, Awesome Kong.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a comparable. They're not comparable women, but.
And then if you.
Yeah.
If you look at the main. I keep saying main roster. If you look at the. You know, the rest of the women in WWE. Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, Bayley. I mean, I would throw Natalya in there. And Alexa, because I know you can say what you want, and I know we praise her, but the majority of people would shit on Alexa for her in-ring skill. She's better than any of the women on the AEW roster, and she's a good character. She's probably one of the best characters in pro wrestling.
She would be the Charlotte Flair of the AEW's women division.
Yeah, yeah.
The AEW's women's division is no better than Women of Honor.
No, and I couldn't tell you much about that, and that should say a lot.
Oh, it's awful.
I'll take your word for it. It's something we're going to harp on probably every week until we see some change. Now, to be fair, I mean, it's a new league. They are building this division. I don't think they're building it right, is what I'm saying. And I think there's a large gap. I want to give WWE credit here, Mike. I think there's such a large gap in talent because I think, and I could be wrong, I'm not in the business, but I think that there is a little bit of a drop-off with indie talent when it comes to men and women. I don't know if it's because of the training. I don't know what it has to do with, but I will say that the Performance Center and the system that WWE has in place really seems to teach these women a lot. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would wager that just from like interviews I've seen with female wrestlers about like their training and stuff, it seems like if unless you get into like the Performance Center or you join like GLOW or some shit like that, you're not wrestling a lot of women or a lot of different women. So I don't think that like a lot of them get the polish needed to put on a coherent women's match. And I think there's 100%. A disconnect between a lot of them, mostly these indie girls, like a lot of these girls that are on AEW, Women of Honor, Impact, not really Impact so much. They've had a solid women's division for a long time. But if you look at a lot of these women, a lot of them haven't got the opportunity to wrestle women a lot. And you could tell, like, their grapples are awkward. They go for holds on, like, what... Like, really watch, man. Like, it looks like they're trying to wrestle a larger opponent. So I think sometimes it takes the polish of a Performance Center, and that's why you're looking at... You know, you get Charlotte. That's how you get a Charlotte, a Bayley. You know, Sasha, Becky, Shayna Baszler. Things like that. Or you're like Asuka and you're one of these badass Asian chicks that wrestles in All Japan.
Which they clearly exist and AEW hasn't quite found them.
I think AEW has found the best of what is out there that is willing to come and hasn't been plundered by WWE yet.
Yeah,
because WWE has, like, over the last 2 years, they really tapped into the, like, nondescript Asian female wrestling market, like, in that real type of way that WCW tapped into, like, the Mexican luchador market in the
90s. Right.
Like, they really honed in
on, turns around
and found something different to, like, to market. And everybody knows that, like, all white dudes go through a 6 month to 2 year period where they are all about the Asian girls. So, I mean, it just helps. That sounds terrible. Like, it's a true story. Like, all white guys go through, like, a phase where, like, they fetishize Asian women. It's terrible. We don't know what it is about it, but it's true. Look at you. You're laughing because you know it's true. Sometimes, it happens to you when you're, like, 9 and you have a crush on Mulan for 2 years. And then you just move on with life, right?
Yeah, but okay, sure.
Or sometimes, like, you know, it doesn't go away. And, like, you know, I got a homeboy that is married to an Asian woman, perfectly happy. Been into Asian chicks the whole time I've known him.
And I was going to finish that up by giving credit to NXT and WWE as they take the nondescript Asian woman and they give them a character, they give them a personality. They haven't hit it out of the park every time, but
I think
more times
I'll
than
be
not,
honest
they do a pretty
with
good
you.
Job with
I
it.
Think Asuka's their only real success.
I don't know. No. Io Shirai, man.
Io Shirai, I don't know a thing about. I don't even know what her gimmick is. I get that she's a bad guy. I like her better as a heel. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't feel like they do a lot. Not, and this is on both companies, not a lot of work is put in to differentiating these women. That's just to me personally. That no American company has put a lot of work into differentiating these women.
I mean, I think...
Quit making them fucking tag teams, man. Just because they're Asian don't mean they gotta be on a team together. And Kabuki Warriors? Ugh. What a bad name.
Well, it just sounds a little dirty. I think again, you talk Raw, SmackDown, there's better character development, little more nuances, a little bit. But I'll give you that. In AEW and NXT, it is a lot of... There's still work to be done there. But talent-wise, NXT and just WWE in general, women's division just topples.
Yeah,
AEW's,
man.
All day, all night.
Their Asian females are better, too.
Yeah. NXT, back to finish up with them, man. Like, we finally got a few promos. We hadn't got a lot of promos the first few weeks of NXT. I do like the way they use that podium that's above the announcers. I think that's pretty cool. We got a little bit of dick jokes from Velveteen Dream, which is surprising, if you want to say. I know that you're trying to take everything in, I'm trying to take everything in. Wednesday nights is kind of killing us both, isn't it?
It really is. Beat my ass,
Did you see Velveteen Dream's promo?
Yeah, I saw a clip of it on Twitter.
Did you happen to see Roddy's wife, Mira Shafina? Did you see her response?
No.
She said, she tweeted, I think, I don't know if she tweeted to Dream or what it was, but she tweeted, and it was a picture of them at Walt Disney after their honeymoon, and she was in a wheelchair, and she said, "I beg to differ."
Oh, wow.
Which is good shit, man. That's good shit. I think that NXT is doing well with storylines. I have a weird feeling. I mean, I know War Games is coming up, and they're definitely positioning it to where a lot of people want to take out Undisputed Era, you know, between Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream. I don't know if we get them, you know, and then another tag team added to it, and Balor's just waiting in the wings. I don't know what we're going to do. I think it's possible. Would it be an interesting concept if they, like, forced the Undisputed Era to put their titles on a line in a War Games? So, like, the tag team in the War Games would win the titles, Ciampa would win the main, and Velveteen Dream would win the North American if they lost?
I think you'd be more likely to see Finn Balor in that scenario.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Even though, like, this week they... I mean, like, obviously they were setting it up for Ciampa and Velveteen Dream, right? I just think... I think it's just kind of a waste of... I don't want to say waste. Ciampa's a heel, man. And he's too good of a heel to bring back as a tweener.
No, I agree.
But I
agree.
Get making him a tweener because, like...
But he's a cool heel.
Everyone fucking loves him. He's not even a cool heel, man. He's just so good at his fucking job, you like him.
Yep.
He's not even a cool heel. Like he's not out here with, like, cool catchphrases, although what he says is catchphrase worthy. He's just out here being a fucking creepy weirdo talking to this belt. And it's just cool.
Yeah, talking to Goldie.
It's just not even cool. It's just like, you're good at your job. Holy shit. And I think that's where his following is.
And let me make another comparison, because I heard, like, how great this Chris Jericho promo was, and I'll probably let you expand on that a little more.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was good, but here's where I want to make a comparison. I like Chris Jericho's promo. However, I thought some of the things he said, first of all, I thought it was way too long. And I thought some of the things he said, it's just like, you guys need to start staying away from this stuff. And I'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, I know what part you're going to talk about.
But Ciampa, in 30 seconds, in my opinion, did way more to get himself over and to look cooler than that 5-minute Jericho promo when he was in the back. He was walking. He was supposed to be coming to Kathy Kelly. I forget what the guy's name is, I think it's Angel Garza, I think is his name.
Angel Garza.
Went to talk to Kathy Kelly and wanted to do an interview, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm waiting on Ciampa. Ciampa got there, Garza says something in Spanish to him, and Ciampa just slapped the shit out of him. And then Kathy Kelly looks at Ciampa and says, what did he say to you? And he's like, I don't even know. Like, it was perfect. And it just fit the character, and it made me pop. And that was it. That was the end of the segment. It made him look cool. It made the interviewer look like she was part of it, if that makes sense, and had a reason and an important thing, like a purpose for being there. And it made Garza look like he wasn't afraid of anyone and he was ready to step up. You know what I mean? Everyone came out looking better, and it was short and to the point, and it, you know, it got its message across where Jericho's was good, but I'm reading how it's a mind-blowing promo on the internet, and I'm just like, man, it could have been like 3 minutes shorter and been way better. And like, I know that, like, I'm just under the impression that this is just how it's going to be from start to finish now, man. But they really need to dial back all the digs on their product about WWE. Because it's starting to feel like that's the only reason they exist.
That was my only problem with Jericho's promo, really, was that there were just so many jabs at WWE in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, fuck, alright, man, we get it. Like, fuck. Like, I love Chris Jericho, man. Bro, I'm just trying to love AEW. I just am trying to, like, love AEW without having, like, I just want to like both, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
and AEW keeps throwing, like, jabs in and shit, and it's just like, man, just do your shit. Just do your fucking shit, and don't worry about them.
You know, they're even, we said it last week, you especially, you pointed out, you said that We the People chant is a mocking chant. Said they might not even realize it, but that's what it is.
Oh, they realized it this week.
Well, yeah, because Jericho told them. And here's the thing, like, I don't even have a problem with that. It's everything he said after. You know what I mean? Like, it's a We the People's dead. It's a stupid, it was, what did he say? It was stupid, created by bad creative, whatever. Like, that dude, Swagger, Hager, whatever you want to call him, he used that in MMA as well. Like, so he clearly didn't dislike it. He clearly wanted to ride the coattails of it, right?
He clearly was riding the coattails of it.
But, you know, and then, like, and I, again, like, it's just funny to me, like, the announcers are calling him, Jericho's calling him an MMA badass. Dude, he's won 2 matches against Bag Boys from Walmart. Like, you can say he's an MMA prospect, you know what I mean?
Walmart doesn't have Bag Boys, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Cashier bags things right there. Now, Kroger, are you thinking of a Kroger
Bag Boy?
Maybe a Giant Eagle, a Big Bear, a IGA?
Yes.
These places all have Bag Boys.
You're right. I met a Walmart stock boy and a Kroger bag boy. Those were his 2 matches. He's had 2 matches, and they're bragging about his undefeated record, Mike. Like, and I get it. You paid for this guy. You want to make him a big deal. But Chris Jericho, who is 5'10", my height, calling him a giant when he's 6'4", which isn't short, but yeah, he's a giant on your roster because, as you said, everybody on that roster is your size, Mike. And, again, like, I'm not a Vince McMahon, like, you gotta be 7 foot tall to be over and be champ, but, like, it's just reality, man. Like, yeah, he might be a giant on your roster, but there's at least 10 guys on WWE's roster that are giants to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just gotta, like, I think they just gotta watch how they phrase things, because eventually it's gonna turn people off, or it's going to make them look bad, or both. Like the announcing as well. I'm so tired of hearing JR. Like,
let's not hold on. Let's not bag on the whole announce team. Let's go ahead and specifically single out the problem, which is Jim JR. Ross.
Yeah, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I love Jim Ross.
I'm not at all shocked, because you don't watch New Japan. And I watch New Japan.
I've heard the criticism. He sounds like he's asleep half the time.
Real Bushi in the ring there. Yeah, Jim, that's actually Okada. Or whatever, they all look the same. Like, right. Fuck, JR, like, pull a fucking effort into it. And then don't say all Asian people look the same after that.
He constantly will... I had an example in my head and it just flew out. But he'll constantly take these little subtle, like, digs and jabs at... He's trying to put AEW and their rules and this and that, whatever, over, but he does it by taking a jab at WWE. You know what I mean?
That's right here. The disqualifications, wins and losses really mean something in AEW.
When he'll say, like, wins and losses matter, imagine that. Like, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, I understand that you work for the competition now, but, like, you can do this stuff and make your thing feel like a big deal without taking shots at the company. And I understand, like, you want to call it a war, that's fine. But, you know, you don't see Mauro Ranallo saying, like, we have the best women on Wednesday night. I mean, he could. He'd be right. You know what I mean? But they don't do that because they don't need to. And I think that's... It's got to taper off where it's going to really kill the product for a lot of people. You have to build your merits on what you're able to do, not what the other guys aren't doing. You know what I mean?
I know 100% what you mean, because I feel it every time they have to do this. And I'll be honest, man, it was a solid promo that Jericho gave, too, like... And that first dig at WWE, that first, like, is a stupid chant, my stupid promo, I was like, all right. Because the crowd got behind that. And I was like, he put in a little bit of extra work there to kind of fucking get Swagger over. And I get it. Yeah. Jericho had to get the whole group over in that promo. Like, he had to explain why they were good enough to be... his inner circle.
Associated with him?
Yes. Yes.
Because they're not.
And he did a great job of it. Like, even by the end of it, I was like, alright, Sammy Guevara, okay, I'm kind of behind this now. And I trashed this dude last week.
I still don't like him.
No, now that I know he's still a teenager, I'm like, I feel a little better about it.
I don't know, man. There's something about him that rubs me the wrong way. Yeah, heel.
I think they're supposed to be. Oh, or like, you mean like that Jinder Mahal way?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Not in the Baron Corbin way, in the Jinder Mahal
way. Right, like, I'm not booing you because of your effective heel work. You are simply just bad at your job. That's how you feel.
Yeah, kind of. And I'm not going to put him in that book yet. I'm just saying initially, that's how I feel. But, I mean... I like the idea of a faction.
I do too. I love it. Love that there's a faction. Love that it's a heel faction. Love that Jericho has a faction. Don't know that these are the guys that should be in it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I love that it's a faction. I love they're bad guys. I love that Jericho's a part of it.
I'll be honest.
I don't know who you'd put with them.
Well, here's the thing. When they offered MJF a spot... Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, my first thought was, this is exactly the level of dude they need in this group.
Yep.
He's not going to be, obviously. And I think this is it. But I feel like MJF would have been solid. If you could leave Swagger in there. I'm never going to call this dude fucking Jake whatever. He's going to be Jack Swagger. if you had Jericho left Jack Swagger in there, an MJF, you could still have Sammy Guevara in there as... You know what? Fuck that. You probably would have just been better sticking Jericho, Swagger, and adding SCU to him.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
That would have been a very effective, very, very effective group there. Yeah.
Yep, I would agree. I would agree. I mean, the show overall, I mean, what an amazing job, though. Let's give credit where credit's due, Mike. Man. AEW's really done wonders for Sean Spears' career, hasn't they? Haven't they?
Do you think that as he was putting his contact lenses in last night, or whatever it was, he was like, do you think he looks in the mirror and like whispers to himself? He's like, I'm gonna get close to the phone to say this. He's like, do you think he ever just whispers 10 to himself? Like, he looks in the mirror as he puts him in and shakes his fucking head like, what the fuck? I got a mohawk and contacts. And he's just like, 10. You could be on the road with your smoking hot Australian wife. But instead, you're fucking getting jobbed out by everyone and fucking wrestling in contacts like a fucking doucher.
Yep.
But hey, like, yep. Right on, good for him, man. You know what? I like his style of wrestling more now, though. I'll say that.
Yeah. But, you know.
I like this gimmick better than I like Ty Dillinger.
Oh, the Perfect 10 gimmick was lame as shit. I mean, it was cool for when NXT was developmental and he was there trying to build a character, but he didn't do anything to further it. I mean, maybe that's on them, but I have a feeling it was on both of them and no one stepped up to do anything about it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. This maybe once things get rolling...
he'll get a couple wins?
I don't know, man. Like, maybe once they get, like, their mid-card division built in and they've got a mid-card title, he can not win that also.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. It's interesting. But, hey, if he's happier and he's jobbing in AEW than he was jobbing in WWE, I guess that's all that matters, right?
Look, man, like, do what makes you happy, bro. If you'd rather be wearing red leather... Like, I'm talking a lot of shit, right? But, like, if you'd rather be wearing fucking red leather pants and putting in contacts, and that's, like, the character that you have in your heart that you want to play, getting walked to the ring by Tully Blanchard... I'm not talking shit. I like the whole gimmick, man. I like the idea of Tully Blanchard fucking managing someone. It's fun for me. I really enjoy the fuck out of it. If you like that more than fucking coming out number 10 in the Royal Rumble every year, like, right on, man, because I probably would, too. I'd rather lose as myself than be the number 10 entrant in the Royal Rumble every year.
Yeah. However, though, I say he doesn't have a career highlight bigger yet, so... I don't know, man, but... I
crowd popped that first year. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Yep, when he came out at 10 that year, that crowd fucking popped.
Yep. So I guess, you know, I do want to say, because we haven't really talked about the good on AEW, I want to say this, man. The Young Bucks are super fun. They're a really good tag team.
They really are. I thought it was... I'm kind of torn on them losing. Because I'm a firm believer that as a new company, you need to establish your titles right away.
Yeah, and I don't know who in that division is a name.
It has to be the Lucha Bros at this point.
Lucha Bros or SCU, I guess.
One or the other, but I felt like you really needed the Bucks to hold those belts first to establish them. But I get it. They want to chase, but also
they don't want to look like they're putting themselves over.
Exactly. And also, it's wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
They can get back in this thing somehow. Who knows?
But yeah, man, they're a hell of a team. They're fun to watch. I'm still not 100% sold on Private Party. I think they have a lot of potential. I think you can tell that they're very green, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff needs to be cleaned up and tightened up. But, I mean, I see why people like them, clearly. I just am not all in with them right now. But, man, the Young Bucks are so good. And, you know, I really like Hangman Page. And I don't know. I love Goldust, but I heard someone say he really needs to get away from the WWE gimmick. And I kind of half agree with that.
I don't even know if it's like the WWE gimmick. I think it's just what he's comfortable wrestling in now.
And it probably is, but I mean,
because it's not even a gimmick. I think, well, it's obvious, but at the same time, I don't think really any wrestler really transitions companies without, you know,
taking a piece of that with them.
Yeah, man. Like, not everybody goes full blown Moxley. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's fair. And man, I really enjoyed Moxley's promo that was online before Dynamite aired. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I didn't.
It was really, really good. Even though it was basically Dean Ambrose turned up, but I mean, it was really good. The presentation was really good. But we'll see. I want Moxley to do well. The fans are definitely behind him, clearly. I think that if they were smart, they'd probably push him to the moon right now. I think he's the hottest hand they have, and I think that he should probably be the one to take that title off of Jericho. Not now, but when the time comes. You know what I mean? Like, soon, but not now. If Cody's got a shot, then I think Cody should lose. Because Cody hasn't really lost yet. And I think Moxley should be the one to take the title off of Jericho. Just me. Just my thoughts. I just don't think there's anyone hotter in the company than him. And besides Jericho, let's be honest, he's probably the most recognizable face on the roster.
Probably. I mean, he's a multiple-time WWE champion. Like, held every belt. Type of guy.
Yeah, he's a Grand Slam winner, so it, again, it adds credibility to that title if you put it on him. I just think it would be a smart move, but, you know, what do I know?
I don't want to discount the value that Kenny Omega could add to it, though, as well. I think if there's another wrestler on the roster that could add it, but we need the best bout machine, not what we got right now.
Right, and again, like, if you're trying to build Kenny to a new audience, I don't know what they're doing. And if you want name recognition on these titles, which, I mean, that's has to be why they put it on Jericho, then Moxley's the next best thing. You know what I mean? And I just think it would be a smart move. They might not do it, and that's fine, you know? But I think if you're going to put value and lineage and try to put some oomph behind that title, I think Jericho and Moxley should be the feud going forward. I think Cody will obviously have this title at some point in time in his career. I just don't know if this is the right time. But we'll see. We'll see. And I also don't know if you should beat Jericho that quick either. I mean, you gotta get some steam behind the champion and the title. You know, flip-flopping belts doesn't usually do anything for it unless there's just nothing going on and they're too new to not have stuff going on. So, it'll be interesting. Overall, man, I enjoyed both shows. I, again, liked NXT better. I just thought the wrestling was better. Held my attention better because they have you know, they've been running these promos or these commercials that says no BS, and they really have a lot less, I guess you say BS. It's just, it's mostly wrestling, right? You know, it's just match, 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 a little bit of a like 30-second, 2-minute promo and then matches. And I just think it feels a little bit better paced. I think AEW will figure that out. That's something new they've got to work with, to be fair. And I don't think it was bad. I just think NXT's pacing was better. I didn't think this show was as good as the debut. I don't know if you'd agree or disagree. I thought the debut was slightly better. But I still would give, you know, I'd give it a good rating. It was a good quality wrestling show. And that's how I see it right now. And really, the fans are who wins, because we've got two great wrestling shows on Wednesday night.
I thought it was a... last week was better as well. I do like that it was a 2-hour show. They had 4 matches.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we're getting, you know, good 20-minute matches. I do enjoy that. Go ahead.
I like the idea of it. I don't know if that's sustainable.
No, you're going to have to start exposing more talent.
Yeah, because you've
regularly.
Got,
they're going to need to add a fifth match in there.
We've had, I mean, I know it's only been 2 weeks, but, like, we haven't seen Karma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even an interview, we haven't seen her, and she should be one of their top stars in a women's division. We haven't seen Jurassic Express, and I know they're doing this AEW Dark, which I think is hilarious. I saw people tweeting about how groundbreaking it is that AEW would put dark matches on YouTube for people to watch, and I'm like, y'all forgot about main event, didn't you?
Right.
I mean, it's literally what WWE's been doing for years, but, you know, AEW and their groundbreaking progress. But anyway, I mean, I know the matches are probably better because it seems that they put their main roster people, or I guess their focus, they don't really even have an undercard. And that's another kind of, I don't want to say problem, but that's just another difference. They don't have a big enough roster to act like there's some guys or girls that don't matter. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So anyone that's going to be on those dark matches are going to be bigger names, but it is what it is. But yeah, man, 2 good wrestling shows. I prefer NXT. That's just me.
Yeah, I thought NXT was better this week also.
But I like them both, and I can definitely see... like, I know what NXT is, so, you know, that is what it is. I think there's a ton of potential in AEW and in their show and in their TV show. It's just going to be a matter of how the company follows up on everything that they do to see if it's something that grows and gets better, or if it just, you know... if it doesn't. I mean, the bottom line is they have to keep viewers, they have to keep fans, they have to keep their ratings at least at a decent level, because they're not, yes, they're backed by a billionaire too, but it's a different game, man. Like, if NXT doesn't do giant, huge ratings, they can always go back to the WWE network if USA pulls a contract, right? AEW doesn't have anywhere to go, so... they've got to be successful, and I want them to be successful because, you know, you might not have thought so with Hell in a Cell, but to be fair, man, they are changing everyone for the better. It is making a difference in pro wrestling, and I think that's all we could really ask for. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'd say that's enough to ask for.
You have anything else to add to NXT, AEW for this week, week 2 of the Wednesday Night Wars?
Man, last week there was some kid out there who is a wrestling fan. He likes WWE. And he was flipping through the channels while WWE was on commercial, and he came across... I mean, it wasn't even while WWE was on commercial. It was a Wednesday night. He's flipped through the channels, man. He comes across this new wrestling he doesn't know, and it's Chris Jericho, who he recognizes, is out there as the champion, and he's like, what's going on? And Cody Rhodes is there, and it's, I think that, is that Goldust? It's, And he's confused, but he's intrigued because he recognizes things. And I was that kid the night Nitro premiered.
Mm-hmm.
And to that kid out there, man, like, fucking A, man. Fucking A. Other than that, Kill, Fuck, Marry, Sammy Guevara, Jinder Mahal, Vince Russo.
Really?
Really? Yep. Oh, do you want it to be, do you want it to be women again? Did you like that time?
I haven't liked any of these times.
No, that's the point.
The bands were fine. I enjoyed that the one. Point. That was easy.
That's the point of these, is that it's no answer is like a good answer.
Man. I don't even know, dude. Let's see. I think I'm going to surprise you on this one. I'm going to... No, I can't do that. I'm going to kill Vince Russo.
Oh.
I'm going to... I'm going to fuck Sammy. Marry Jinder.
Oh, wow. I'm killing Jinder. I'm going to fuck Vince Russo. And I'm going to marry Sammy just because he's only a teenager. You know what I mean? Like, the potential to get better is there. And I think we know. And you know what you're getting with the other two.
I almost flipped Jinder and Russo and killed Jinder and married Russo because my justification was going to be Russo's not a spring chicken anymore. He might not be around that much longer. Ooh,
good reason.
Oh, wow. Anyway, guys. Well, actually, before we wrap up, Mike. I know this will air after, and we'll talk about the draft next week at the beginning of the show, but, you know, the draft is kicking off on Friday. This will air on Saturday, immediately following the draft. You got any thoughts on it? I like what they're doing. I like the way it's structured, and they've announced a ton of personalities from the Fox and USA networks that are going to be involved.
No, I don't. Other than I really like that they're having Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns to determine the first pick.
Isn't that a fantastic idea?
I think that's a brilliant idea. I think it's brilliant, especially since Brock is champion, so you can't really have Brock versus Seth, because I do think champion versus champion would have made more sense. But I get it.
I immediately saw people bitching and saying that, but Brock Lesnar is a Raw superstar.
Fucking Brock, man. Shut up.
He's still on Monday Night Raw's roster, so you can't have two people fighting for the same roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It makes sense. And I like the idea. Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my thought. I don't know if it stays that way, but that's definitely my thought. Have you seen the list of people that are going to be involved?
No.
I'm trying to find it here. Stall here for a minute. Like, they have a lot of personalities that are going to be involved. Here's some of the ones that are listed. Alex Rodriguez, Michael Che, Colin Jost, Christian Slater.
Christian Slater?
Yeah,
we're talking Christian, pump up the volume, Slater.
Yeah, Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot, man.
Pump up the volume, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Jim Cramer from Mad Money. That's hilarious. I know there's more. Oh, so here we go. Kevin Burkhart and Frank Thomas from Fox Major League Baseball. Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, Jimmy Johnson, and Tony Gonzalez. Rondé Barber, Charles Davis, Chris Spielman, and Daryl Johnson. I mean, these are big names, dude. Rob Stone, the whole Big Noon Kickoff, including our coach, Urban Meyer.
Our coach, I mean, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's right. I said it. F you all. I mean, Rodney Harrison and Chris Sims, Football Night in America. I mean, this is pretty... I like it, man. I like what they're doing. They're making it feel like a big deal. They're making it feel like the networks are fighting over stars, and I think that's probably the best way to approach it.
I like that a lot.
Yep, it's definitely going to be fun to see unfold. And like I said, we will talk about it next week. And for as of right now, man, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We see you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
New episodes of Drive-By drop every Saturday on iTunes, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe and make sure you never miss a single one. And keep the conversation going on Facebook at Drive-By Pod. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This has been a presentation of the Near Fall Network.